What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new to us, welcome to the table. We are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We are three DMs who create stories sessions based on randomized theme and scenario tables. We determine this by rolling 2d20s. It's just a great way to get your creative juices flowing and work out those DMing muscles. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Sam, or DM Mambo, here serving as your transition captain for today's episode.
I am David. I'm going to be rolling for themes today.
And I am Malcolm. I'll be rolling for scenarios.
Joining us today is basically your go-to D&D helpful hints and tips YouTube channel. These videos have helped us, as well as many others, smith your PCs, NPCs, and, well, general knowledge of D&D. And, well, since I'm running out of puns here, let's just get to our introductions. Today we have the pleasure of hosting RuneSmith.
Well, hi there. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We're thrilled.
Of course.
Very. Yeah, we're big fans.
It's going to be a good time.
Is there anything you'd like to plug or anything, your social media such?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a lot of projects all over the place, but the main ones right now that I could draw attention to would be RuneSmith, the channel that you suggested or recommended. That's just on YouTube. You can search that up. We've also got a company running called Eldermancy. We have finished writing and published. We're just about done manufacturing our first book, Stibble's Codex of Companions, which is a bunch of little monsters that you can add to your table, D&D. And we're actually working on our second book. I don't know how much I can say about it now, but it is about taverns, and the landing page will be done in like a week.
Very cool.
Well, sounds really awesome, yeah.
Yeah, so I have a question just to kick things off. What is your guys' worst either DM blunder or player blunder that you've had that you can think of that where you just really wish you could take that one back?
Yeah, I'd like to hear some of yours first so I can have a frame of reference.
I don't know about taking it back, but I make mistakes all the time as a DM, and I think they're kind of fun just because sometimes you can accept it as a mistake. Sometimes if you give, like, I run a Pokemon 5e game, and I told my party that there was a specific ranger coming. Ranger Rick was going to come and meet with them, and I totally forgot his name. And so when the ranger showed up, I introduced it as a completely different woman, and they caught on to that. And so I could either admit my mistake or come up with an entirely new plot thread. And that's what I did instead.
It's a quick cleanup there. That's a good way to just, all right, retconned like that.
And she was from like the bad team, and they had to deal with this whole thing. And then Ranger Rick shows up eventually. It was fun.
From Team Missile.
I would say, I'm going to use when I played Cyberpunk 2020, because I understood the rules. I did not check if my party understood the rules, and that was on me. I was just like, guys, I got something we can do other than D&D. Let's play Cyberpunk. And everyone was like real jazzed about it, and then we didn't know what we were doing. And so at a point, the other issue was I didn't check with them what tone the game should be, because I knew what Cyberpunk was, this really gritty, dark, like Terminator-esque game. Yeah. But yeah, for the game, it was really just like, oh, I'm gonna make this really dark and really edgy, and they hated that. They were just like, everything, they're like, we can't win. And I was like, that's the point of Cyberpunk, is to like overcome. And they're like, no, but it's not, you're not making it a fun experience, you're making it like we get mugged if we walk outside. And I was like, that's Cyberpunk, it literally says in the book to do that. And so I ended up altering it, and I remember this part very specifically, because the one thing that was the linchpin that they really didn't like was I took like modern day celebrities and put them in Cyberpunk, because I was like, 2020 is now a year that we exist in. Like, we would be able to see that, so who would be around? Like, so I threw in, I remember specifically,
Alt-universe,
I
was like, Will Smith.
Yes, actually, the Smiths were a thing, and they were a family crime, like, people. It was crazy. But,
so not unlike our dimension.
But the big one was that the point where they were sick of it was I had them because they had they were starting to get cyberpsychosis. So it's like you go to a therapist and it's Tom Cruise, and they were just like, "We are so done. We don't care. We are over the." And I was like, and I noticed it. They didn't say any of it. It was all on their faces, and I was just like, "That is the moment where I was like, I messed up." And so I just had him go. I was like, a lady walks in, goes, "What are you doing in my office?" And this guy who claimed to be Thomas Cruise just burst out the window and runs away. And they're like, "Wait, so who was that?" And I was like, "That was Tom Cruise." Like, Tom Cruise is crazy in this timeline.
That was like, Professor Thomas.
And from there, I ended up finding the balance of like making things crazy, but making them like their own thing and not letting them win a bit more so they didn't feel so.
Be down
so discouraged. Yeah. Like, even though I always stand by the rule book legitimately says, hey, if your players aren't doing anything, rob them.
Yeah. That's a general rule for most RPGs. It's a Chekhov's gun in a way where if nothing is happening, someone runs in with a gun. No, that's actually Chekhov's gun is a different one.
If you show a gun in the first act, it has to go off by the end of the second.
There's like a law of when nothing's happening, make something abstract happen.
Break the door
down. It's kind of like Deus Ex.
Right, like breaking the door down?
Yeah, essentially. There's some fancy writing term for it, but I guess it doesn't matter.
I can't think of it right now either.
I know what you mean, I just don't remember the name.
On that note, I will admit that I have a terrible memory. So, not a lot of things come to mind, but I think just about every Dungeon Master blunder falls into like a set of categories. And the first one is obviously not giving the players what they expect. And that kind of stems from players just having expectations about your game, which really shouldn't be a thing. But it's them not agreeing with the way you're presenting the game because you're expecting different things. You not knowing enough about the rules or you over prepping the game. That's one of the biggest blunders I think I've ever made. And most of the time when I get asked this question, I refer to the end of Tesseract where the players got completely bested by a villain who I designed to be realistically villainous and not video gamey. So he killed every one of them in a very strategized way. They didn't like that just because it was too hard. They got mugged. But I think the very first session was an equally blunderous event because I wasted like 2 hours before the game just prepping and prepping and prepping all these side quests and stuff. And the players got into town and they had an item, like a hot item essentially that people were after. So they're like, let's leave town. And I was like, all right, I'll throw away 6 pages of text. But
yeah,
I think learning to improv is the best way to avoid blunders and just accepting that you're going to make the mistake of not remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to say one of my biggest blunders was one when I first started DMing, I'm still like, very new, was like, yeah, I got the rules down. We've played. I've been a player. I got these rules. Uh-uh. And then I'm like,
I wrote a book and I messed up.
I was like, I don't have these rules. I don't know them. So always reread the Dungeon Master Guide whenever you get a chance.
Yeah.
I
would also add to that. Don't just like read it front to back.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Like nitpick sections that you're interested in at the time and just enjoy that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my more recent blunders was I had some friends who were like, hey, we want to play like D&D more regularly because our one DM kind of just was like, I need some time. So I started to play with them and it turns out that without really knowing, they both made a wood elf, that female wood elf that started with the letter A. And they sent me there, and it ended with the letter A too. So I was like, okay. So I started the thing off, we're going great, and I like flip flop their backstories. So I'm like, why are they not interacting? Like, this is like juice right here for them. And then I was like, oh, I flip flopped them. I have it.
That's like having twins.
Yeah.
I'm going to put all of your character sheet in red and yours in green just to keep track.
And I'm going to make you wear little things on your forehead.
On that note, I have a separate question. We can move on. Shall we roll?
Let's do it.
All right. So as we get ready for rolling, everyone is going to roll except for me. Malcolm and David are going to roll on their respective tables. And Logan here is going to roll two d20s with advantage. And he's going to put one roll in for themes and one roll in for scenarios. And so we'll end up with two combinations today. And then you'll choose which one you like the most.
So I'm rolling a cumulative four times.
No.
Okay.
One roll.
Then I got 2 and 20.
Nice. I have an 18.
And then my scenario is a 4. Sorry, that might have confused you. I type 4.
Yeah, if it's an audio show, it's best to call them out.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, where are they? They're there.
A 2 and 20.
And a 4. And David, yours is an 18?
Yeah. All right. So for our first mashup, we have Day at the Races by Flaregunfish and Whirlycan paired up with Party Wakes Up in School and Needs to Pass Finals to wake up by LaGravy. And then we also have Game Show and Down a Well. So those are two combos. Game Show, Down the Well, and Day at the Races and Party Needs to Wake Up. Party Wakes Up in School and Needs to Pass Finals to Wake Up.
Oh, don't forget to say that Down the Well was done by Soulja.
Oh, Soulja, yep. Seoul. Sorry. Soul. That's right.
Okay. It's a tough matchup, but I think there's a lot to work with here. So
you can pick any one for the...
Okay, I'll open it to the floor, because I think Day at the Races could be interpreted that you're waking up at school with what responsibility was it?
You need to pass your finals in order to wake up.
I really like the pass the finals one.
Okay, because you can incorporate Day at the Races by just you have to pass them quickly. Maybe there's a ticking time bomb or something. I think Game Show Down a Well has... It's vague enough to be just about anything, but that might make it difficult. So
you can mix the two as well. So it could be Game Show school or Day at the Races Down a Well.
Hmm.
So whichever combination piques your interest.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll simplify it and go with the first one. Day at the Races, where you wake up at school to pass the finals. So, okay. I'm just getting the juices flowing here. If it's
good.
Yeah. So you have to pass a final. Finals are extremely vague and they're at any subject. Let's say, I think just to make it really simple to start, I think you're dreaming as a horse and your final is to win a race.
Yo, that's a whole different direction. I thought we were going to do like this high school AU. But yeah,
this is like a high school anime where everyone's horses.
Yeah, so my God.
So Equestrian Girls from My Little Pony. Don't ask how I know about that. Yeah, that exist.
We'll go with that. Except, no, they have to actually be horses because you're racing. I don't think they do that because they're people.
They're like half horse, half people. It's very...
Centaurs?
Centaurs, yeah. Yeah.
I did not picture that as a centaur for some reason.
It's like that Sorry to Bother You movie.
There are a few elements we can play with. Does anyone want to pitch in?
I really like your horse idea. Yeah. Of it being like... Now I do want horse people, now that we've discussed the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that is an actual race in D&D. They're like, I think they are like equestrian or something as the official title.
Equinids, and
they're
like maybe.
They're like celestial children. Yeah.
I'm a bit familiar.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like absurdity. So I think we should stick with just sentient talking horses like Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, that is also great.
So is this your party falls asleep and wakes up as horses?
Your party. Okay. Yes. You're essentially trapped in like a mental state where you're in a different dimension, and that's kind of what a dream is. But this one is so lucid, and for some reason, you're a horse in a world with horse people. But there are still a lot of elements we have to add, like what class are we in? Why did we take it? Who's the teacher? And how do the finals function?
What if it's just high school for horses? Like, you just everyone is a horse, and you're going through class, like they wake up. Maybe they each wake up in like different classes. So if you have a party of four, two are in math class and two of them are in like English class. And then you have to dig around for like some horse related topics to like do a quick class scene. And then they have to, you know, typical anime, just get up and leave school and they come back together. And then when they try to wake each other up, some kind of hint comes in of like, you have to pass a test before you can wake up, or even you can have like a nightmare
like a nightmare scheme going on where one of like the teachers or stuff says, if you don't pass this trial, you are going to be a horse for the rest of your life.
You're going to have to retake the whole semester.
You have to retake the whole horse.
So you have like months in a dream.
What we could do is we could have it be that it's like you were saying, that kind of absurdity of the different like things. So it's not just, oh, this horse has to pass an art final, but this horse has to pass an art final by punching a person. Like, it's all things that don't really make sense. And then you're just like, but why? Because dream logic makes sense only in dreams.
Yeah. With dreams, you can constantly reassert a specific theme until they get it, because that's just like how you can DM a dream. So I think we could either cut it up into two segments, or we could make it one big one where you have to like pass a final in order to get to some like a juvenile race thing that they do where everyone gets together after class and they enter the race, and that's the day at the races angle. Or we could make that like you could incorporate each of the, what are the core classes, like science, math,
stuff
like that, incorporate it into like a ring race. So as they're doing that, they have to like answer questions to get past hurdles or something.
What if it's like the classic big football game and you're the jock who didn't study? Like since you didn't pass your test, you're off the team. And it's like, oh no, we're off the team unless we pass these tests.
Okay,
You have to get to the big race at the end, so and you still have to win.
Let's cement that. So we're in a horse high school and we have to pass our finals in order to enter a race, but the race is also a part of the school. It's not a juvenile thing.
I think to add to that, like the reason we're in this kind of dream state or demiplane, there's a deity whose sacred animal is the horse, and it is Kyrgyz, and he is, I think that's how you pronounce it. He's like the deity of healthy competition, sport, and physical development. So that could be like a good underlying theme for why you have to do all this physical exercise while you're going through actual school.
Okay. That makes it stupid, but it also makes perfect sense. So, what was the deity's name again?
Kyrgyz, Kurgess.
Can it just be our gym coach?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the gym teacher, and this is your phys ed final, and the dream is actually made by this deity. So, like, it's manifested as a test for you, and they just really like horses, so that's what it's serving as.
They're like, their party's like, why am I a horse? And the god appears.
Because God said
so. Yeah, he's like, the god himself is a horse, just like a horse with a whistle, and he's like,
what the fuck is wrong with horses? What the fuck is wrong with horses?
And this can be something you throw at your party when they like skirt around doing an actual competition, just not necessarily as punishment, but just as a consequence of them having a cool idea to get around a physical competition. Okay. And then the deity of physical competition being upset.
Okay, then I think we can make it this, where you have to pass like your phys ed final as a horse, but because you haven't been studying because you just woke up, so like you don't remember anything technically because that's how dreams work, you also at the same time have to pass a different subject final as you're doing like the phys ed race. So let's agree on a subject and then we can actually make the thing.
What are horses bad at?
English.
not Mr. Ed. English has to be taught by Mr. Ed, though. Side note.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
I think math could be fun just because like counting is a thing, is like a trick that horses in real life often do, where they'll like tap their hoof on the ground a certain number of times to count.
Oh yeah, signaling, which is essentially just horse English. Yeah. That's weird to think about. That's a subject I'm really interested in. Animal
speech. Yeah, I majored in horse English.
So when I stomp my foot twice and kick back some dirt, that means you better back up, buddy.
Because as a DM, you could print off like different, like, you know, horse language to give to your players. Be like, if you see these happening, you would understand, like, you got to back up, or this horse is trying to flirt with you.
It'd probably be like a really absurd animal handling check where you're dealing with other students.
Yeah.
Or
Would you even have animal handling anymore, though? Because you yourself, like, that's for people having to approach other animals.
Well, the way that this, that most dreams would function is if your body changes form, you still have your intelligence, wisdom, charisma scores.
That's true.
So it would be difficult for you to communicate, but if you were smart or wise enough, you could figure out how, like, horses talk.
Yeah, I think that's great. Because you're going to want to keep your players, like, comfortable. You don't want to change all their stats or anything on them. So yeah. I would keep just your, here's your sheet, except you're a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I offer horsetry.
Horsetry, okay. Yeah, actually, that's perfect. There's a lot you could do with that. Just horse history.
They're not, your players aren't going to know a thing about horses. And if they do, they're going to be jazzed. You're like,
so you have to do some back research, like, when were horses introduced in America? What kind of horse did what's-his-name ride on or whatever?
Welcome to class. Yeah. We'll be discussing Seabiscuitian ethics.
Okay, so I think it's a history test that happens at the same time as a race. So you could pull the racing mechanics from Tomb of Annihilation. In Cholt, you race on dinosaurs, but instead of controlling the dinosaur, it's you. So
I like this.
I think we've got enough elements to actually start paving the way. So what's the introduction? Obviously, you wake up naked because you're a horse. boy, is it embarrassing.
I mean, like, you freak out that you're naked, then you realize everybody's naked because you're all horses.
That's the second realization. The first thing you think is, wait, I'm naked. Second is, oh, I'm a horse. Okay. But what area would they wake up in? Would they, like, instantly be starting the track? Is this, like, a really fast-paced mission?
It depends on how you want to
so set it we'll up. Leave it up to the
for this one GM. I think it'd be good just to start in a stable.
Okay.
Even really though the dream I thought of them stable. Just like waking up in class as a horse, like that classic, like, jolt awake thing that people, you know, always have.
That's a familiar waking sequence. So we'll say that they're, like, at their tables, and they're probably, like, so the introduction would be as you fall asleep and you instantly hear, like, a bunch of rhythmic tapping and aggressive, like, breathing very close to your head. And you wake up and you're in horse school, in horse class, and the teacher's standing over you, pissed that you're not paying attention.
Asking you to read.
Yeah,
we can open with horse English, have Mr. Ed there being, like, tapping his foot, going like, yo, you're supposed to be answering.
Could do that, or we could just go straight into history and not just have the two themes be prevalent.
That's true.
I think Mr. Ed should definitely make a cameo, and he should be like, all right, look, I know you're doing really bad in horsetry, but your English grades, they're like a C-. We got to bring that up. We'll talk later. And then you have to go to the races.
I love that.
Yeah, I think, I think this is going to be fun. I think what we could do also is that opening scene of just, you know, the typical, like, anime scene of read these pages out loud. And that's when you could put in the script of why you're there. And if you're going off where, like, they've skipped the, what is the god's name again?
Kyrgus.
You're like, oh yeah, so you can have, like, Kyrgus putting in, like, pages, and you can hand off to one of your players, be like, read this out loud, and you could write something, like, clever, like, such as, like, this is why you're a horse, of course. You know,
this is why you're
of course. Yeah. Make it rhyme.
Yeah, make it rhyme. And then you're like, yeah, next time do my damn mission or something, like, you know.
And then maybe, like, part of it could be not a red herring, but foreshadowing. If, like, part of the history lesson was in relation to Kyrgus and his involvement in the creation of the world or something.
Oh, I like that.
That way you could learn about his domain without it being, like, directly implemented.
Yeah, you could have it be like the horse teacher be like, this is important stuff. You need to learn. And then it's the thing of that actually, again, yeah, coming back and being like, oh, Kyrgus put us here for all the. I'm like, wait a minute. It was Kyrgus this whole time.
The god of horses and competition. I know that guy.
Okay, so we've got horse school down. We could expand on it if we wanted to do a campaign.
A dream campaign that takes place over one night.
I mean, like,
I think you could technically do that. You'd probably piss off your players.
Yeah, I would keep this to, like, one to three sessions, depending on how focused your players are.
You mean you guys don't want to run a whole campaign where you're horses?
It'd be fun, but it wouldn't be a good, like, addition to an existing campaign.
Oh, that's true. That much is true, yeah.
The race the first time, depending on how we want to run the mechanics, like the dream just starts over again and they hit kind of like Groundhog Day and they have to think of different. But I think there should be an inclusion of a horse bully, you know, that typical bully jock guy who's like.
So there's different like horse breeds in D&D already. So there's like a riding horse and a war horse. So it would definitely be a war horse. It's just like kind of a prick.
We can make him like the actual like. I don't know, sports quarterback of the team. I don't know what that equates to in horse races.
It's probably just the one with like, no, because the one with the best record would be like a fast horse, because war horses are slower. So maybe he's taking like a different class that you're not a part of. He just likes to mess with you.
He's the TA.
Maybe he's the fastest because you're not there. Like,
imagine the TA being your bully.
Or what if one of like the classes is like they have to learn how to be ridden eventually? Mm-hmm. So you could go on mechanics of like
they have like the CPR dummies that they put on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you can't throw your adventure crash off. Oh, what if it's like an adventuring school for horses where they learn how to like travel with adventurers, but they have to learn how to not throw them off and they have to be good horses or they'll be left behind.
A lot of depth to this dream.
Well, we go in depth here, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, he's just kind of an abstract bully that keeps purveying. I do like the groundhog theme because that's kind of the dream message is if you don't learn it, it keeps presenting itself and just repeating the mission would be a good one. But maybe it would start at different points, like re-zero, or just wherever you made the worst decision, you start over a little bit before that.
Maybe whatever horse teacher you have in the beginning is what, like, gives you a different, like, cryptic clue of, like, it's like, you really need to pay more attention to, like, the classes, otherwise you're not going to make it in time, and next time you come in, it's like, well, you almost did good that time, you got a B on this, and, like, you know, so on and such forth.
It could even be more subtle, where, like, each time you're introduced, the teacher is telling you to read a page, but the page is always different. And it's like, alright, here's the god, and then it's like he punishes people who don't complete these things or don't do this or that, and it just like goes further and further into a psychosis. It'd be crazy. This is a scary game we're writing.
We also do that a lot, don't worry about it.
It's a reality. Okay, what point do we go to next?
I mean, I think that's all that's left really is the race. We've gotten through this one really fast.
I want to add a couple extra classes just based on what horses do in our world. So we kind of went over sport, which is the racing. There would also be like work classes where horses are being used to move stuff.
Like a wood shop.
Warfare we kind of touched on as well.
There could be like carriage etiquette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like when you're pulling certain types of vehicles, how many other horses have to be with you to carry it?
Mm-hmm. There could also be like therapy horse classes where you're going to be like an emotional support horse.
Oh, we have to have the chillest horse there.
Just like herding horses, like cowboys and stuff.
Yeah.
So is there like a cultural divide between horses and sheep people who also have a like they're segregated and they go to a different school and you have to learn how to deal with them?
You kind of just sparked me of an idea of like if you want to use this to give your player something, if they're trying to learn like a new skill or proficiency, like say your barbarian wants to learn animal handling as a proficiency skill, you could kind of homebrew this for like if they finish this one task, they get that proficiency. So, or if they want to learn how to, ride a horse, someone wants to be proficiency in like land, or horse riding or something like that. That's when you get into like the chariot etiquette or the carriage etiquette you need to do this, and this. And now you can, Kyrgyz is the god of horses. Like now you can feel the horse's pain for when you do something to it.
I also, not to detract, because I know you were going to come up with a few other classes, but I just wanted to say really quick that if this dream was instigated by a god, it'd be really interesting if when you woke up, you had like a mount from your dream.
Yes.
That just appeared.
It's like your there's a horse body.
There now. And it, yeah.
The body it's, you were in. That,
yeah. Yeah, so and it's just like a normal horse. Or maybe it's an extension of you, like a familiar. That'd be cool. But
oh, I like the extension.
It could be the, you could give your players like the find steed spell. And this way they don't have to go, this way they don't have to go and buy one or something like that. This is why they always have that. If your campaign is based on travel a lot, this way.
There's a magical charm mechanic in the DM's guide that certain monsters utilize. So it could just be like a token or a charm where you can summon, you can cast this spell without anything like three times overall since you went through that. This is like a fucking, did anyone play RuneScape when they were a little bit younger?
I only remember the sheep part.
Yeah. Do you know like the random events, like the sandwich lady who would show up?
Yeah.
And like give you random stuff? This is like one of those.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know what to do, so we're playing horses today, guys.
But you were going to think of some other classes?
The only other class was kind of, I'm not sure how this would or what it would be called. But because horses are used in so many different products, it would be like this terrifying class that all the horses have to take to know what people are going to do to them if they fail.
What gummy bears are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The glue factory?
No. See, that's their, like, DARE program. They have, like, the horse people come in and they're like, look, this is what happens if you're not a good racer.
No.
This is your brain on drugs. Just a gummy bear. Like a 5-pound gummy bear. That's bad.
That'd be great. This one really wrote itself, though.
Yeah.
This was great.
We've made it out of history class, and now we're at the race. We're at, like, the physical ed final of maybe not the semester, but, like, our whole education. So this is super important, just, like, cheerleader horses or some weird stuff that people can gawk over. But people are betting on you.
So what kind of encounters or obstacles do we want to have going during the race? Because I think players would get bored of just roll your dice here and roll your dice there. So well, I know we said something about taking a test as well.
Mm-hmm. You could also incorporate, because the bully, if he's a war horse, he'd be like in the sidelines, so he could throw horse popcorn or like a big thing of carrots with like the barber stripes on it. He throws a big basket of that at you as you're racing, mess you up.
You could have it be that the environments within the race are different to like test, like if you're an actual good horse.
So you could roll for like each type of area. So there'd be like Arctic, maybe desert where the sand slows you down, the forest where there's a bunch of obstacles.
You definitely have to work on your jumping.
Because that's how dreams function, is there's just a different environment.
Oh, yeah. Like, maybe after every hurdle of, like, you know, when you jump over, after when you complete the jump, that's a new terrain to go through. And then maybe you set up maybe, I don't know, 5 or so, and they have to keep completing them as long as... Now, does the whole party have to win, or is it just one of the party members?
I would say that
one party member could probably do it and wake up, and they would get the boon, and they could wake everyone else up.
Oh, okay.
And they'd, like, wake up screaming.
Yeah.
I was a whore!
And then throughout the whole, like, rest of the campaign, they have, like, horse, like, tick still.
To add a little bit of combat into this, just because I feel like players would get bored without any.
Yeah.
You could have like a section where you're doing these races, maybe they're like jousting, where you have someone who comes in to ride you, and you act as the mount still, so you'll take the actions that a mount can, but you can't attack unless your rider uses their extra action or whatever.
And it would have to be, because it's the god of friendly competition, so if anyone cheats, you're going to get messed up, but maybe like an NPC or a subconscious dream horse starts like trying to mess with you, and you have to overcome that, and then you get like a boon or something.
I mean, you could also have it be that you're fighting the, I picture this when we jump through different areas, when you go, you could have it be that there's people, and you could just have bandits and folks, kind of like, Sam was saying earlier, the idea of, having it be that, like, you're doing almost combat that your horse experiences when you are doing mounted combat. You just don't have a mount. Or you could do like a flour sack mount, and so you have to protect them while fighting other people as a horse.
I was going to say, because in certain dreams, you can, I speaking from experience, you can go from first person to third person and back and forth. So maybe, like, you take a step back and you realize, like, as the camera zooms out, that there's a person riding you and they have a lance and a shield, and you take control of both the horse and that person.
That could work, too. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Give everyone, like, a level 2 fighter.
Yeah, whatever the knight... No, because you'd have to... I think a knight is a stat block. It might be in Xanathar's or something. Oh.
It is.
You could do maybe gladiator, because if they're a lower level, it'd be fun to emulate, like, a fifth... It's a challenge rating 5 character, just with a lance and a shield. That'd be cool. If your horse dies, you wake up again, or you repeat the dream.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For horsery, you could have it be the fact that it's like jumping through the great battles that these horses have been through is what you're re-experiencing. Awesome. So it's like you're a horse.
And you could weirdly incorporate that into the overarching plot that you're detracting from. So like you see these great battles happen around you, and you see the one that you're like researching, or that was important to the artifact that you're looking for. And you see the guy that has this artifact, and he's like running off in a different direction.
It lets you lore dump on your players while also just coming completely out of left field.
The horse god gave you the info you wanted. It just cost you some, like, entertainment.
A lot of trauma.
And then you're...
That's another thing, is if you wake up, do you remember it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of that, like, I forgot who plays Doc Brown, but he's in a movie and he goes like, "I was frozen today!" And he, like, freaks out about it. And so I always think of, like, that level of, like, trauma for a character who's been transformed.
I still don't know what happened.
I was a horse, and then I woke up and I was a man again. I don't know.
Christopher Lloyd. That makes sense. Thank you. The delivery lines up.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think also if you have just one party member who completes the race, maybe passing the race doesn't mean coming in first, but as long as they complete,
it's doing it honorably.
Yeah.
Without cheating.
And so if you only have one player who does that, they're the one who gets that.
And they, like, congratulate the winner.
Yeah, they get the boon, but they also, when they wake up, they're the only ones who remember it. So everyone else is like...
That'd be awesome. That'd be really cool.
What the hell are you talking about? Or maybe it's first, they don't remember ever being a horse, but they just remember winning this battle or something like that.
I hate to be that specific weeaboo, but does anyone watch, or has anyone watched JoJo?
Yeah.
Okay,
you know, first Death of all, 13? We're all weeaboos here.
Yeah, it's Death 13, okay. Oh my god.
Yeah, one of the best episodes. It'd be like that, where, like, you wake up and you're like, oh, that's right, you guys don't remember, we almost died.
Oh yeah, you forgot. Cool. Nothing, it's fine.
We could have the war horse, be the one who's not doing it honorably, or like
if we keep the
idea of a person, of you having to, like, lead your person through these combat trials and, like, through all the way, he could just be like, I made it through, and it's like, yeah, but where's your rider? Like, he's dead, like, 3 miles back.
You lost him to get ahead.
What if the bully is like a BBEG from, like, the real world that also got sucked in? So now you maybe that's one of those like bad guys that, you know, always, like, the Jesse and James that always are there, and you're like, all right, Skeletor,
the recurring
villain.
Here
you come.
Yeah,
but, like, if he wins, and if he's the only one, or if they're the only ones who wins, they get the boon.
Then he shows up on, like, a sick ass horse. Like, I get this from my dream. I kicked her ass in.
The horse has got, like, 6
Remember
legs.
That dream we all had.
I was gonna say, maybe as an alternative, or possibly as an addition, if he's a war horse, he could be like a bully with his 2 lackeys, like in Skyward Sword, where one of them enters the race but he's not involved.
So for these historic battles, you could even, like, have a bunch of different times throughout history. So you could have, like, a chariot race where you're just in the, like, big circle. You could have actual war fields, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do with that. So I don't know how the timeline works in people's campaigns, because it could be different, but you could be like, suddenly, by the force of mitosis, your horse is now 2 horses pulling a carriage, roll initiative, and then
You know, if you wanted to get real, real crazy about this horse dream, what you could do is like a Planet of the Apes things where it's like, this is the far future and the horses, that's the dream, is that it's the far future and that the horses have taken over. So you can play with all the timeline of mankind and be like, hey, yeah, there was gladiators. Then there was the part where we had laser guns for a second with the horses.
If I woke up and I remembered that, I would kill myself. The future is horses. It doesn't matter.
It's potential realities.
All right. So I think, yeah, I think we've got like all of it there.
Yeah. Is there anything, anything anyone wants to add before we go to the recap and synopsis?
This is a shorter one, but yeah, this really wrote itself.
Yeah, I move fast. We could explore the other one.
Yeah, no, I think we should. I think this is a nice one where, you know, you can add it in as a one time off, or you can extend it for two, especially if you're having like writer's block and you're like, I don't know what to do with these guys right now. There's too many too many plot holes, there are too many strings to pull on, and they don't know what to do. So, yeah, why don't we move into the recap and synopsis? Logan, is there which one you'd like to do over the other?
What do you mean?
Would you like to do the recap or synopsis?
I think the recap is probably more important because that kind of paves the way for the synopsis.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, or both. We've also
had. Yeah, I thought that's what you meant. So
yeah, that works too.
Let me try to.
Yeah, okay.
I'll try to run through it to the best of my ability. So it would start when the players fall asleep and they wake up being woken up in class in horse school by their horsery teacher who tells them to read the page about the god that's making this whole crazy event happen. And after some lengthy discussion there that you could probably just kind of monologue, the players are rushed off to their phys ed final. That is, who's the teacher for this? It's the god himself, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say that, but yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's like a remanifestation. So they describe him, and then you see all of these traits or virtues, or maybe just physical attributes in this phys ed teacher, and he's like, "All right, the race is about to start. It's gonna be a doozy." And then, yeah, the whole race just consists of you jumping through different realities or histories or whatever applies to the campaign that you're running. And as you're doing that, you can change from first or third perspective, just like what happens, who's doing what. You could give them gladiators and stuff. And once they reach I actually skipped over the bully. Of course, there would be a bully that happens probably before you start the races. He would be introduced a lot like Groose is the guy's name. That's just, it's Horse Groose from Skyward Sword. And his little lackeys, and he's like, "You're nothing, kid. You're a nobody." And then you get into the races, and you see one of his lackeys, and you see him in the stands, and he's got like a bunch of carrots he's gonna huck at you, like Donkey Kong throwing barrels. And as you run through, you have to deal with all this dishonesty, and which I think that the teacher should probably reinforce that this is an honest competition. Cheating won't be tolerated. So like the players know not to mess with other horses. And once you get to the end, if you survive or if your manifested mount survives, and there's probably a little bit of a following event where whatever you want to happen happens, I think. You could talk to the other people that you fought against. Maybe you forged a bond. Maybe you could talk to the teacher who's the god and ask him some questions about what's going on. Or you repeat it if you messed up, if you didn't learn your lesson. And at the end of it, I would think that whoever did the best, or if the party kind of agrees that they've all learned the lesson, everyone wakes up and they get a charm, which is just a magical part of D&D where three times until like it has three charges, it's part of your brain, you could just summon a horse for, I think, 8 hours. And that's the game.
Perfect.
quite the venture.
Brilliant recap.
Anything you want to add or anything I skipped over? There's a lot of depth you could explore, yeah. Obviously, but that's
I love Groose.
Horus.
So,
no, I think you got everything. God.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was just thinking over. This one's wild.
Yeah. You should see the other podcasts I've been on. There was one where we made a giraffe centaur.
Yeah.
Which is just a horrifying concept that we explored.
Yeah.
I just actually came across giraffe centaur art on Pinterest the other day, and I was like, this is wild.
I think it devolved into just being a giant centipede.
Oh, God.
No.
David, did you want to do the synopsis for us then?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. As your chariot screeches to a halt, your enemy finally knocked off theirs. The sand beneath your feet slowly starts to freeze, and a layer of ice fills this arena. Groose the horse throws another carrot that slowly freezes and hits a little harder than the last couple. As this kind of winter wonderland around you appears, you continue to move forward, but the chariot detaches from your back, and there's now just a single rider riding without a saddle, holding a long spear. As you run into essentially a face of armored horsemen, you and the tribe behind you, now repopulated, you get to experience the Battle of Frost Hill. What do you do?
Yeah, if you have one too, it's just like as if you were going to DM it for your players. You'd pick one scene that we kind of threw around that you wanted to expand a little bit more on.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try and do one. Okay. So as you're riding through the desert, the Sultan on your back's blade fresh with blood, as you turn back and you see familiar horse faces now slaughtered and fallen into the ground, you look forward and you see the checkpoint, the marker that you've been looking for. You don't even know, you didn't know that it was there, but now that it's there, you know you've always been looking for it. And as you run toward it and you make the leap, you jump over this strange bar resting in the sand, you enter a lush jungle. And it's not as though you enter the jungle, it's though you've always been in it, as if the desert that you just left was a distant memory, and the Sultan is no longer on your back. You are alone, and there are other horses coming after you. You can hear growls in the distance, and you see what looks like piercing eyes of a panther. Then what would you do?
Also very good.
Think it'd be fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the transition scenes are the most interesting. Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because in my mind, I was thinking of, like, just the the bully scene in, like, the hallway of the...
Yeah, I wanted to do that first,
From horsery to going to, like, to the PE field where the track is.
you struggle to carry your horse book.
Yeah.
And Chris just knocks it down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You exit the history, your horsery class, and all of a sudden, the books you're holding in your mouth just get slapped out of your mouth and onto the floor as you look up, and there's Groose and his two minions just slamming you into a locker.
And his horse pompadour. Yeah.
I'm really disappointed that we didn't work in BoJack Horseman, come to think of it, but you know.
Oh, yeah. Never watched it.
It's pretty decent.
Yeah, I've heard. He's just there.
Yeah.
He's that weird hybrid that your brain kind of like is trying to create but can't.
He's just in the back of the class.
Day drinking.
He's the cool kid.
So Grorse knocks the books out of your hands. What happens after that?
You cry horse tears and you run to your horse bathroom.
Yeah, the horse. You have to eat lunch, the lunchroom scene. No one's friends with troughs. You. Yeah, just troughs.
There's a rumor that it's all horse meat.
Oh, no.
Are they omnivores?
I think they're vegetarian.
Well, they're not cannibals.
It's herbivores, yeah. I think they're herbivores.
There's I a just rumor know horses
they're,
like
they're
oats.
Putting stuff in the carrots. You're putting stuff in the oats. Now, the carrot's like the dessert. It's like the little Twinkie that they give you.
Yeah. Salt licks.
Oh, man. There's like a communal salt lick.
There's a horseshoe shining class.
Yeah, because there would have to be like human people helping you do stuff, like cleaning out your hooves.
That would make sense, though, when we're in a dream. Mm-hmm.
Is this just like horses have human slaves?
Yes. Oh, my God.
And the sheeple are segregated? The sheep people. What a nightmare.
This would be so weird.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to run it, but the other part doesn't know how.
Exactly.
We just discussed a whole hour of how, but I don't We're know still how to run out, this. Yeah.
All right, well, that was our episode with Runesmith or Logan, so thank you so much for joining on. I hope you guys enjoy. Tweet at us at FitGDND for Twitter. Give us the hashtag of FITGDND or FITGRRR. I'm Sam again. Hashtag horse party. Hashtag horse girl. Horse D&D, whatever you guys want. We'll find it. Just let us know. We love to...
I like Horse D&D, honestly.
Horse D&D, right there. I'm Sam. I was your transition captain for today. You can find me at DM Mambo 5 or at bardicinspiration.dnd on the Twitter.
I am David. You can find me at Daedra18. That is Daedra18.
And I'm Malcolm at The Ruler of Rhyme. It's like how it sounds. So cool.
And you can find me at the_runesmith because a 60-year-old white woman named Cheryl took runesmith. So, yeah. the_runesmith.
God damn it, Cheryl. That's the bully's name now, Cheryl.
Her last name is Grease.
Cheryl's the popular horse.
Yeah, Cheryl is Grease's girlfriend.
She's the one that you asked out to prom, but said no.
But said nay.
Yes! Hey there, thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Limby off of their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at limby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. That's Limby, spelled L-I-N-D-B-Y. Lastly, we are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast, and you can learn more about us at obtuseaudio.com. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, if that's what you think we deserve, but we hope you do. All right, thanks, have a great day, and be good to each other.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.